all of you here this morning. And we are blessed to have Mark and Alyssa. I did say that right. Alyssa. All right, got better that time. And they're leaving this week to go back to China Tuesday. So at the beginning of our second service, we want to have a word of prayer with them, and we're very thankful for them visiting with us today. And so we want to remember them in prayer as they go back this week, Tuesday. Pray for God's to be with them as they travel and lead and direct in their steps. And just also a quick reminder, we have coming up September the 8th and 10th. Those days we're having special meetings with Pastor Lee, and so please be in prayer for this on Friday night, and also we have Sunday, and then we have on Saturday a special gospel meeting with Pastor D, and a church-wide picnic on Saturday afternoon. So from 2 to 4 will be the gospel meeting, and then our picnic will be from 4 to 7. So please come to the picnic, invite your friends, and pray for this, these special meetings, and for this picnic that God would bless. We have been, this year our theme is Christ will build His church. And we've been looking through the seven churches in Revelation and then the churches in the book of Acts. And so we come today to the church at Philippi. And this could be called the praying church. In Acts 16, as we read today, we expect to find a place of prayer. Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy. I pray for our brother and sister as they're getting ready to leave this week to go back to China, that you would go before them, prepare their way, and Lord, be with them, we ask, in each step. And Father, we pray that you would prepare our hearts today to receive your word. I pray for the anointing of your Spirit upon your servant to speak forth the word of God. And Father, open our hearts. May we receive that word into our lives. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the book of Acts, we're reminded that this book here teaches us about the work of the Holy Spirit. From the time Jesus Christ arose, that the Holy Spirit came upon the church, and even to this day, the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we're also reminded of the Great Commission in Acts 1:8. They were to go to Jerusalem, and then to Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the world. And so here we come, chapter 16, we're in Paul's second missionary journey, going to the ends of the earth. And we come here to the city of Philippi. And if you look at this map here and see where Philippi is located. And we talked last time, remember, about the vision of Macedonia. And so as you look at Philippi, a little bit of background to the city of Philippi. It was a city in northeast Macedonia, named after Philip II, the father of Alexander the Great. And Paul said here, from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, in the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. Now this church was, of course, founded by Paul. And the church represents for us a praying church. It's interesting that the word Philippi means fond of horses. I was born in the year of the horse, so I guess you could say I'm fond of horses. But often we get the picture that horses are a powerful animal. And so this is a picture to us also of the fact that prayer is powerful. We're reminded in James chapter 5 and verse 16 that prayer is powerful and it's effective. What is prayer? And first time we see Adam and Eve in the garden, we see them talking with God, and certainly that is prayer, our communicating with God at any time, at all places. And then the first mention of prayer in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, if you would turn in your Bibles to this first time, it's always interesting in the Bible to look at the first mention of something in the Bible. So here we have the first mention of prayer. And Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, we read these words here. The last part of that verse, verse 26, it tells us, Genesis 4, 26. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. They were in a place of wondering. They were lost. And people began to call upon the name of the Lord. So, we must ask ourselves, are you fond of prayer? From Philippi Church, we learn about praying places, praying times, praying people, praying elements, praying promises. And I'd like you to think about this with me. More prayer means more power. Less prayer means less power, and no prayer means no power. And we've all been in the situation where there was a power outage, where the electricity went off, and you feel helpless. There is no power. And so we're reminded of the fact that prayer is our power. I'd like you to look with me, first of all, at praying places. On the Sabbath, we went where we expected to find a place of prayer. On the Lord's Day, we come and meet, expecting to find a place of prayer. Now, prayer ought to be public, and so we see that praying together in various public places. For example, and we're told in Isaiah 56 and verse 7, that the Lord's temple is to be a house of prayer. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. All right? So this is a place of prayer for all peoples, all nations. And then, of course, the temple was a place of prayer. We already saw in Acts, the beginning of Acts, that the church is to be a place of prayer. And our homes ought to be a place of prayer. We saw that in Acts chapter 10. All of these can be houses of prayer. Then we see here, secondly, that they were meeting for prayer by the river outside the city. The river outside the city. We went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Now, the Jewish population in Philippi must have been very small because they had no synagogue there. A lot of times we see, where Paul and these early apostles, they went first to the city, they went to the synagogue, and there they would preach the Word of God. But they had no synagogue there. It's interesting to note that it required 10 men for the founding of a synagogue. So they had no synagogue, meaning they had fewer than 10 Jewish believers there, or Jewish, I should say, Jews there that would have a synagogue. So, they met outside by the river there. Outside by the river. They found a place to pray, a place to pray that would be quiet, a place that they could meet together with God, and if it was by the river. And that's where this church began, by the river. It's interesting to take note of that. And so we see that prayer is to be public. We also need to take note that prayer is also to be private. There needs to be private praying. To pray alone in various private places. And this could be anywhere, of course. We see in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, after he had dismissed them, Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. There ought to be a place of prayer, whether it might be in a mountainside or along a beach or wherever it might be, a place where we can draw close to God It can be also a secret place. We're reminded of the words that we find here about this place of prayer. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That secret place of prayer. Where is your secret place of prayer? It could be your bedroom, it could be your dining room, it could be wherever. Where is? You ought to have a place of prayer. Whether it's indoors or outdoors. I'm reminded of the movie The War Room. And you remember the movie there that she made her closet her place of prayer. And how God brought power upon both that lady and as she trained that other woman to have a place of prayer. And then her daughter made her closet into a place of prayer. Now, I can barely get my clothes in my closet. I could never fit in my closet. That's the smallest. It's like a phone booth. So that may not be possible. But the thing is, you have a place that you can meet alone with God, wherever that might be. You have that place. It reminded us of Psalm 63 here. Psalm 63 and verse 6. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Even your bed can be a place of prayer. If you're woken up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep, why not pray? Make it a place of prayer. And so that prayer closet, that place of prayer for private prayer, we need both a place to gather together, to pray together. We need also a private place where our hearts can draw close to God. And so we see here the places of prayer. Besides the places of prayer, the next thing I want you to take note of here is the times, the praying times. About midnight, Paul, it tells us here, Paul and Silas were praying. The darkest time, we don't have to wait till midnight. The darkest time. But all times we need to pray. We're reminded of the fact that we as Christians ought to pray during the meal times. Tells us here in Matthew chapter 14, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves and then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. Giving thanks for what God has given to us. Giving thanks for the food that is before us. Giving thanks, bowing our head and thanking God. It doesn't have to be a big show. We don't have to stand up but it's to be a time to give thanks. Morning time is also a time for prayer. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. It's good to wait upon the Lord, especially as we start. And if our day is going to be busy, sometimes we're tempted to think, oh, I got such a busy day, I don't have time to meet with the Lord this morning. And I'm reminded of other believers who would say that when their day was busier, that they would get up earlier so that they could have that time. We need that power. We need to be ready. And even the Lord himself, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And so we are reminded of this, that place of prayer. And then there are not only the morning times that are the place of prayer, but reminded also the fact that there ought to be fixed times of prayer. All right? These fixed times of prayer. Of course, the meal times, I'm reminded of the fact that the prayer that often was taught as a child, pray over the meal. God is great. God is good. Thank you. Let us thank Him for this food. But as we pray, teach our children to pray. I remember some of my younger grandchildren as they would pray over the meal, and it was always touched my heart. They gradually learned the words, but they always start off by just yelling out, just from an infant, "Amen, Amen." So let us thank Him, and by His hand we are fed. Let us be reminded of these things and thank Him for that which He has given to us and pray to Him. But these fixed times of prayer, these are times that are appointment we have with God. It could be the evening, morning, and noon. I cry out in distress and He hears my voice. Those fixed times of prayer, some it's in the morning, some it's in the evening, some do it morning and evening. But those fixed times, that's an appointment you have with God. That's a time when your heart draws near to God. Daniel had an appointment with God and reminded of how that he would meet with God. Those fixed times of prayer that Daniel were so precious to him as he met with God. You know, all times can also be a time of prayer. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. You know, especially when we're discouraged, we're ready to give up, we're ready to quit. Now that's a time we need to call out to the Lord in prayer. And where Romans chapter 1 verse 10 reminds us, in my prayers at all times. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. Pray without ceasing. It's like breathing. We don't think anything about it. Take it. Inhale, exhale. You don't think about that. Inhale, exhale. You do it naturally. And that's what prayer is. Just speaking to God. It's like breathing. And I thought of this quote here to us. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing, Martin Luther said. It's just a natural part of being a Christian to pray. It's like breathing. And so we need to pray at all times, but also emergency times. We think about those times that are emergencies. I'm reminded of the story of Peter. But when Peter saw the wind, the storm, as it was blowing, he was afraid and he began to sink. And as he was beginning to sink, he cried out in prayer. And he said these words, "Lord, save me." You know, the emergency times, we don't have to go to the hospital bed to have a time of prayer. But in those emergency times, we can cry out to God. Probably many of you have flown on an airplane, and they always announce to you, in case of emergency. And so you have a little, you know, presentation that the oxygen mask will fall. And, you know, they hold that oxygen mask. And then they tell you, first, put the mask on your face. And then if you're a parent, then put it on your child's face. Now, you know why you do that? Is that oxygen, you have to have it to be able to help others. So in a time of emergency, that's not a time to go calling everybody else. Put the oxygen mask on. Pray to God. Cry out to God first. Then you can help encourage others to cry out to God to put on the oxygen mask. So in those times of emergency, and they come in our lives any moment, what do you do in those times of emergency? What do I do in those times of emergency? Do I panic? Or do I pray? Do I put on the oxygen mask and help those next to me put on the oxygen mask and to pray And so we're reminded that all times are times of prayer. And then we're to be praying people. Praying people. First of all, I want you to notice here that they all joined together constantly in prayer, the early church there, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Men and women, brothers and sisters, even Mary prayed. And none of these prayed to Mary. Mary prayed. They all prayed to Jesus. They all prayed to God and cried out to God. And so it was praying people, first of all, men. We're reminded in 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, therefore I want the men everywhere to pray. And that means males, men. If we're to be leaders, we need to lead in prayer. Men everywhere to pray. And men includes leaders. Paul and Silas were praying. In prison, they were praying. And then, not only leaders, as leaders, we are called upon to lead in prayer, but also what we might call the losers, right? We could be either one. Oftentimes they're both. The losers. And what I mean by that, look at these verses here in chapter 16. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. And the jailer called for lights and he rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? When we come to the end of our ropes, when we think we've lost everything, that's what it means. This jailer, he thought that they all escaped and that would mean the end of his life. And so he was ready to take his own life. Whether you feel at the top or you feel that you're at the bottom, wherever you might be, we need to cry out to God in prayer. We need to pray as men. And let us never forget this. As men, we need to pray. We think we're strong, but we need God's strength. We think we have power, but we need God's power. And then not only the men, but we also see that the women prayed. It's interesting that we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there alongside the river to pray. Women are also to pray. We see here a God worshiper, one who was seeking after God, that she prayed. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia. She was a dealer in purple cloth, and she was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord. All right, so here's a woman, Lydia. She made a good living. She sold this cloth, a purple cloth, and was known for that, and had a good living. But she was a seeker after God, and one who sought after God, and her heart was open to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And she became a believer in the Lord. She was a prayer. She prayed. She was a prayer warrior. And also the demon possessed. We see here that we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And she kept this up many days. And finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and he said to that spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. We think about this prayer. both the seeker and the non-seeker need prayer and need to pray. Lydia needed to pray. The slave girl needed to pray. They needed prayer, and they needed to learn to pray. And so whether we're men or women, whether we're seekers after God or non-seekers, they're all in need of prayer. And so let us be reminded of this. Prayer is not our last resort. It's our first resort. It's not, oh, well, I can't do anything else. I guess I'll pray. No, that's the first thing we do. We go to God in prayer. And so let us be people of prayer. And then let us look here at the praying elements. This church of Philippi was started, and then, of course, Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, to the church at Philippi. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, I'd like you to read this verse with me together. Philippians 4, 6. Let's all read this together. Be reminded of this verse. Everybody, together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Be not anxious about anything. You, of course, know what anxious means. It's to worry. And we all have a tendency to worry about things. Worry about tomorrow. Worry about what's going to happen. Worry about this. Worry about that. Where is this going to come from? We worry. And we worry. You know, there's a hymn, maybe you've heard before, "Why Worry When You Can Pray?" And the words of that hymn are a comfort. Why worry when you can pray? But unfortunately, many times, what do? We switch those words around. Why pray when you can worry? And so, let us be reminded, yes, there's concerns of the cares of this world, but let us be reminded what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Do not worry about these things, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests before God. And so here are some elements of prayer that might be helpful to us. If you're taking note of this, think of the ACTS, Acts of Prayer. The Acts of Prayer, A, is adoration. And so we begin our praying to God, not with what we need, not with our requests, but looking at who He is, looking at God. Look at these words here that David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. And so when we come to God in prayer, adoration is getting our focus on God first. It's so easy, like Peter, to look at the waves. So easy to look at our circumstances. Peter kept his eyes on the Lord. He walked on water. And so we need to, our focus is on the Lord. Adoration. And then the C is confession. 1 Peter 1:9, we're reminded, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And so, C reminds us of confession. As we see God in His glory, we're reminded what Isaiah said, woe is me. I am undone. I am unfit. I am not worthy. And so, there's confession. Oh Lord, we confess to Him our sins. We confess to Him our shortcomings. And we ask for His forgiveness. So we need this confession. And then reminded that A, adoration, C, confession, and then T is thanksgiving. And again, Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he wrote these words, I thank my God every time I remember you In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. So, praying with joy. Praying with thanksgiving. This is not a time to come complaining. Yes, God, we can tell God what's on our hearts, but thanking God for what? First of all, thanking God for what He has given to us. Thanking God for His provisions and praying with joy. Praying with joy. And you know, you realize that Paul wrote the book of Philippians from prison. He didn't write it from a beach. He didn't write it from the, from the mountaintop. He wrote it from prison. And even in prison, Paul rejoiced. And this is one of the themes of the book of Philippians. Joy, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Even in prison, rejoice. And so we see the need, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then the S, supplication. Yes, we need to take the things that to God in prayer. Supplication, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 tells us this, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for the kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful, and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So we pray these requests. We pray for the needs that we have in our lives, but we also pray for others, intercessions, remembering others in prayer. And so our prayer list is to pray for them also. Let us not forget that. And we learn from Scripture how to pray for ourselves and how to pray for others. We take the words of Scripture and we pray them back to God. So here's a good example for us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Look at what Paul says here. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. We see the words of Scripture. This is my prayer for you at Philippi. Paul said, I want your love to grow more and more. And so we pray that, Lord, help my love to grow more and more. We pray for others, help their love to grow more and more. And as we read these other verses, we turn those into a prayer. We pray that back to God for us and for others. And so here are the elements of prayer. Let us learn from these elements of prayer. And then, this is a good reminder of the promises. Praying promises. Praying promises. God promises, and words can become our prayers. So not only His promises, but His words become our prayers. As we read the Word of God, they become our prayers. And so reminder of the verse here. To ask in Jesus' name. John 14:13-14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So, we don't just tack on the end of our prayer like it's a good luck thing, in Jesus' name. Amen. But we're asking in His name. We're taking this promise. I'm asking. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, I'm asking. Now think about this. Without God, what would our week be like? If I only prayed maybe on Sunday, what would my week be like? If I only prayed once a week, what would my week be like? I'm reminded of this. I think this is interesting. Without God, our week would be sin day, mourn day, tears day, waste day, thirst day, fight day, Saturday. Think about this. 7 days without God makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. 7 days without prayer makes one weak. Why are we weak? Because we're without prayer. Without God, our weak would make us, would become weak. And then we ask according to God's will. 1 John 5:14 to 15. This is the confidence we have when we pray. We have an approaching God that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. We ask according to His will, according to His Word. We have the confidence in prayer. And so, let us ask according to His will, God's will. And let's take the promises of God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. This is a promise. We take the Word of God. We take the promises of God. We come to God in prayer. And let us learn what it means to pray. And so we're reminded here, how does God answer our prayers? Sometimes He answers immediately. The thief on the cross cried out, Jesus said, "Today I tell you, you will be with me in paradise." We get an immediate answer. Sometimes He answers after a delay. And so the parable He told them is to keep on knocking. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. And so we're told to do this. Sometimes God answers with more than we ask for. Out of His love and His grace. Now unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. Sometimes it's different from what we ask. Paul asked Him to remove the thorn in the flesh. And God said that instead of removing that, that His grace was sufficient. And sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says no. David asked God to save the life of that child, and God said no. Even as parents, we have to say no sometimes to our children. Father, could you give me a knife? I'd like a pocket knife, just like I see in that picture. We know the child is too young for that. It would only be harmful to them to have that. And so, yes, even loving parents say no. And so God sometimes says no to us. Sometimes God requires action on our part. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 9, they prayed and they set watch around the gate, the walls and the gate. And so we must ask ourselves this question. We need to be a praying church, is a powerful and effective church. Are you a powerful and effective praying Christian? Are we a powerful and effective praying church? In Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I hold sin in my heart, the Lord will not listen to my prayers. And so to cherish sin in my heart is like a solar eclipse. Of course, tomorrow we know there's going to be a solar eclipse, but let that be a reminder of you. When the moon, the total eclipse, is that when our hearts are turned from God, there's that total eclipse. And when we hold sin in our heart, there's a total eclipse. Our prayers cannot be heard. And so we need to come before God in prayer. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I also want to remind you, at the end of each service, I'll be at the back. And if you need prayer about anything, I'd be glad to pray with you. Or if you just want to say, Pastor, I just want you to pray for me, I'll do that. But if you have a specific request, you can share that with me. I'll keep that and pray for you. And pray throughout the week for you. And you can email me and say, Pastor, would you pray about this? And let's pray for one another. Father, I thank you that the example that you set before us here in Philippi, the praying church. And Father, I pray that we would be praying Christians. that we would know the power and effect of prayer in our lives. And prayer would not be the last thing we turn to. The last thing we turn to should not be prayer. The first thing we turn to ought to be You, and to You in prayer. And Father, I pray that You would help us to be a powerful church, a praying church, that we would be powerful and effective in praying. Lord, may there be no eclipse between us and You. May nothing come between us and You that would keep us from praying. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.